Well, hello there, and welcome to the Mill Housing Nation podcast, where we help military families PCS better. I'm your host, Lindsay Litton. Over the next 20 minutes, we're dishing out tips, tricks, and actionable steps you can implement to make your next PCS an easy one. From interviews with military real estate experts to fellow powerhouse military spouses, we're highlighting some of the major issues that impact military families when they move. And before we get started, a quick shout out to our sponsor, Mill Housing Network. Mill Housing Network helps military families get connected with local military real estate experts all over the country. If you're considering buying or selling a home, connect with the Mill Housing Network agent online at millhousingnetwork.com or pop us a like on Facebook. So let's dive in. Today's guest is a fellow military spouse advocate and Keller Williams agent and Mill Housing Network approved agent there, Miss Erin Ward. So Erin, welcome.
Thanks. I'm excited. I love this.
Yay. So Erin is a board member for the Military Family Adversary Network. Totally messed that one up. I apologize. And the MILSPO Project. Erin also works on legislation for military spouse careers and was recently interviewed on CBS, where Ms. Erin talks about some of the challenges military spouses face when they go into the workforce. I want to be Erin when I grow up, and she's amazing, right?
Thanks.
So, Erin, welcome to Mill Housing Nation. We want to thank you for being a guest today, and we're excited to dive into your story.
Yeah, thanks. I'm so excited. I love what you guys are doing. This is awesome.
Well, we love having you as a part of our network, and you do such a great job of taking care of our military families. We just love the opportunity to partner with you.
Hey, we've got to take care of our own, right?
That's true. You know how it is. So, Miss Erin, how long were you a military spouse, and how many PCSs did you make?
So 24 years now. 24 long years, which is crazy to think, because I think 24 years ago, I had never been on a military base, ever. Nobody I knew was in the military. It wasn't like something that ran long in my family. So it's kind of a crazy thought process to think about coming that far. And in 24 years, we have made 19 moves.
Holy cow, 19 moves.
Yeah, we were on the go a lot. But some of those, I mean, there were, I think, like two or three of those were in, like, moving twice in one location, that kind of thing.
Okay. So, yeah. Fair enough. So, obviously, after being married into the military for 24 years and doing 19 moves, you've had some military life experience. How has that impacted your career?
My career, my resume, I always say this, like, I was a recruiter at one time, and I would never look at my resume if I didn't know any better and be like, wow, this person is awesome, because my resume is like a smorgasbord of, like, different industries and careers. It's nuts. You know, and I've done everything from sell insurance to help with an amazing military nonprofit to even working in federal service, and even my favorite job of all times outside of being a real estate agent was I got to work in radio when we were stationed at Fort Riley. So, I've had such a cool life, but it definitely impacted my career my employment opportunities quite a bit. Because I never felt like I made as much as my civilian peers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that in some of these industries, I probably could have moved quite a bit further along in my career if I had had more time. So definitely there's been some major impact. And a lot of that led to me then deciding to go into real estate and kind of taking control of my career.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love that you did that, because I know for a lot of military spouses, they think, no way, shape, or form should I ever get involved in real estate as a military spouse because I'm going to be moving. But basically what you're saying is, look at what I've done. Look at the, myriad of positions that you've had, and real estate has been one that you can take no matter where you go, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, we're military spouses. We're as tough as it comes, right? So to me, if the hurdle is, and although it stinks, and I know we're making changes to get past this, if the hurdle is that I've got to go take a test in every state I go to, mm-hmm. fine. So yeah. be it. I got this.
Yes.
Whatever it takes to make me resilient and ensure that I'm going to be able to continue my career while supporting my service member, that's fine. I'll do it. And it's not fun, of course. We all know this. To pick up and move and have to go find the business again. But if you're truly good, and trust me, 24 years ago, we didn't have Facebook,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can leverage so many amazing tools as a military spouse to pick up your business and move again, and you should always be keeping that in mind,
mm-hmm.
that you could move at any time, and building those networks. I mean, my network, I credit my network that I started building 24 years ago with my success. Wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you build those networks, picking up and moving and getting your license in another state, not fun. I know we don't love it, but it's doable.
Yeah. Well, and I love that. And it's such a good segue into my next question because you were recently interviewed on CBS. I mean, holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some amazing and obviously you're doing some amazing things in the public eye that is highlighting and educating the public about military spouses, some of the obstacles that we face with career advancement and employment. Where did you get your passion for continuing this battle and battling some of these hurdles that military spouses face when it comes to employment options?
Yeah, I mean, so you're giving me the opportunity to highlight one of my favorite organizations. I'm definitely partial to this one because I was a big part of it for 7 years of my life. I mean, and who gets to be a part of anything for 7 years as a military spouse? And I want to say about, I think it was about 8-9 years ago, I was a federal contractor and my contract went away.
Okay.
And I was out of a job for the first time and I was panicked. And luckily an amazing woman named Deb Kleppel came along and said, hey, come join us at this organization called the Military Spouse Corporate Career Network. We want to help you find employment, but we also want you to come and help others find employment. And through my ability to work there, I heard the stories. I knew my own struggle through it. And since then, for the last, I mean, it's always been a passion to make sure, you know, I'm connecting people or if somebody needs help, let me help you find someone, you know, or if you need a job, have you tried here? But the ability to really kind of dig in deep as a part of the Military Spouse Corporate Career Network really gave me the fire, really gave me the passion. And although, I mean, I love that organization, and it has allowed me to now go pursue my passion in real estate, I still have that same fire for these employment issues, these entrepreneurship issues, daycare, education issues mm-hmm. that military spouses face and that I have had to deal with for 24 years. And I want to make it better. I don't want, you know, anybody else to have to go through what so many of us have gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my passion comes in.
And I love that. And I think that it's such a powerful message because it's a passion that I share. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you say it's something that you went through. And we know that it's something that because we've gone through it, we can help create positive change within the military spouse community because I don't feel others should have to go through it the way that I did.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Erin, for your work on that. During your interview with CBS, we heard from Senator Tim Kaine. Can you explain a little bit more about the legislation he's proposing?
Yeah, so, you know, it's been a long time, I think, coming. And Senator Kaine has put together some parts of a bill that he's introduced to help, you know, ease the burden that we're seeing as military spouses with employment needs. And so he's got different pieces and parts in there. He's got some great pieces on education and making sure that opportunities like the MyCAA
mm-hmm.
Program are more readily used and more available and that there's more awareness of it because I think we see a lot of folks that have never heard of it.
Yeah.
But also, too, one of the things we talked about as well was making sure it was used properly
mm-hmm.
and used in career opportunities that had long-term outcomes, so not to be used for something that there is no real job opportunity in, to be
mm-hmm.
used at legitimate schools and legitimate colleges. As well as there's inside the Act, there's information about childcare and making childcare more affordable. Mm. I just met with some really good friends of mine the other day. They just had their second child. The childcare costs that they're facing right now, I happen to know because I also sold them a house. It's more than their mortgage payment every month. And yeah. they have a beautiful house.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's very unaffordable for her to stay in her job as a nurse.
Yeah.
You know, so she's got a great career. The husband's a service member, and he's got, you know, he makes decent money, and she makes decent money, and they still can't afford, I think it was $2,700 a month in childcare.
Yeah, I believe it.
And it's outrageous. So that's one of the other things that are being addressed, because we know that's a really important piece. The other issue is, and I think this kind of probably falls to some of us folks that have kind of already gone through our military lives. And so one of them is making sure services are available for at least a year after transition out of the military. Mm. So one of the things I realized was at that 6 month mark where Military One Source kind of cuts off, that's when it's just starting to hit you.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, the new reality is starting to hit you. And that's probably when you need services more often than not. Mm-hmm. So the other request inside the act is to push those services to a full year.
That's amazing. And I think you hit on some very important issues that are barriers for military spouses getting into careers. And childcare is one that we've constantly hear of. I know many of friends that say, I just break even when I'm working with the cost of childcare. And I can raise my hand and say, I've been there, done that. And I, too, have paid well north of $2,000 a month in childcare. And it is very difficult on families to have a dual income if it's costing more than your mortgage. So thank you for your work on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that when civilians probably hear about that and they go, well, don't work. And I've personally heard that. And the reality is, at some point, you can't have these large gaps in your employment, because we know employers don't want to see that either. So you definitely can't, you know, we're already getting hit hard when we have jumps in our employment and short-term employment because of our PCS moves. Mm-hmm. But to have a long gap does not make sense either, especially for some of our specialized folks that need consistent continuing education and definitely need constant work within their field. So it's such a catch-22, you know, with the child care costs. So it's a difficult decision to make, but hopefully relief is coming soon.
Yes, hopefully. So you have our support on that, Erin. So thank you for all the work that you're doing on that, because I know it's making a positive influence within the military spouse community. And it really is an exciting time to be a military spouse, because it's right in the middle of when all these changes are starting to come to light. I know, Erin, you've got a lot of numbers on me in terms of military spouse life, and I love that you are sharing your knowledge with others on what it means and making some headway on some of these issues. For those military spouses listening in, what can they do in their communities to continue to learn about current legislation, and what can they do to help?
So get involved. I mean, I think that's the first thing. So I found myself, and I'll use myself as an example, there have been plenty of times where I've just sat and kind of just complained about the, you know, the issues that we face as military families and military spouses, whether it's employment, whether it's childcare, even health care, and just found myself complaining but not actually putting my money putting my money where my mouth is and, you know, getting out and doing the hard work. So remember, if you want to affect change, you've got to make the change. And so you need to be out there. You know, it's not enough for you and I to do all this on our own. And I will say, I have never, in the last 10 years, I have never seen a military spouse movement like I have in the last 10 years. Like, it is amazing some of the things that military spouses are doing right now and the causes that they're championing. And it just makes me feel so proud to be a part of this community. But what I think is really important is for all those folks who feel like there needs to be a change, get involved in those organizations that are trying to make a change. A lot of these organizations are grassroots organizations. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of them that are self-funded, unfortunately, and they need volunteers. And volunteering doesn't mean you have to go and find childcare. It doesn't mean it has to cost you money. It can be picking up the phone at night. It can be just getting into conversations, whether they be online or in Facebook groups or different things. But also, too, when it comes to legislation and making a change on a local level, one of the things that I have always tried to do is become involved in my local government as well. So talking to, as an entrepreneur, making sure I'm talking to the economic development people to make sure that they realize that there are, you know, small business owners, military spouses in our community, making sure that I'm meeting with the congressmen, the representatives that represent me and the community that I'm living in. I want to hear what it is they're doing to make it better for me. You know, so if you're in a large community, and I'm in Hampton Roads, which is the largest contingent of active duty military in the United States, they better be paying attention to us as their constituents. So that's where I reach out and I talk on both sides of the aisle to make sure that they're looking at us from a local community aspect and what's best for us.
And I love that. And I think that it's so important for military spouses to get involved in their local communities. I don't know that too many military spouses put themselves out there the way that you have. So I think it's inspirational to hear that from you. And for military spouses that are listening, if you want to create change, you've got to get involved in your local communities. It starts within our local communities. That's how we start movements.
Amen.
So we are both realtors. We've both made a lot of work career decisions and challenges, and we've both faced those as being realtors in military life. So let's talk real estate. How can real estate help combat military spouse unemployment from your perspective?
Yeah, so, you know, for me, I found it to be like such a breath of fresh air for me from an employment standpoint. I've been able to kind of take all of the skill sets that I've picked up in all these different jobs that I've had, but not to mention, not just those jobs that I've had. My life as a military spouse, right? So, like, I kind of think of myself as the world's best logistician, right? So I can pick up and move overseas and back in less than a year because I've done it with, you know, three kids, two dogs, and two cars.
I know. All the things.
So those Those management skill sets that I've earned, whether they're on the actual job that pays me or those life management skills, I think I've been able to take those into real estate. And it's allowed me to kind of put different systems in play to be successful in my career. And I think there's sometimes, and I was just saying this recently to my family, I step back and go, wow, I'm really good at this. Like, I am truly good at this.
You are great at it. Because every single Mill Housing Network client we've referred to you with raves about working with you. So thank you.
Aw. I do. And that's the other thing. Like, how much fun is it to walk in the door and find somebody their house?
Yes.
Right? Like, and just put a big smile on their face or, you know, to help them sell that house before they have to PCS so they don't have the stress of that. Like, I love that part of the job. But again, we kind of talked about like how real estate's such a great fit because I truly, truly believe it is a portable career. It may not be one of the best portability things from a licensing standpoint, but come on, guys. If you want it bad enough, you will take that license in multiple states and run with it, and you will build your network. And if you're good at building your network, you're not going to have any issues in real estate, no matter where you go.
No, absolutely not. And I think, you know, one of the things that I mentioned when I was doing our previous interview with another military spouse who is a realtor is that there's so many other careers within real estate for military spouses. You don't have to do sales. Let's talk about transaction coordinators. We use virtual assistants who are military spouses to help us close our transactions. We have military spouses that do staging, so they can help us do staging for our houses. And there's a lot of great military spouse photographers out there that I'm sure would love to work with another military spouse realtor to help take all the photos and the virtual tours and all the things that you can do. So there's so many positions that are created out of just the industry that I think it's when you get creative and you look at all the avenues that military spouses can get employment through real estate, it's really awesome.
Yeah. You're so right on. I mean, the opportunities are really endless. And what's even better is we know in real estate, the income potential is amazing. I mean, I have friends whose husbands have been able to retire and take a few months off and easily not have to stress or worry thanks to, the spouse's career in real estate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's the beautiful thing about the industry is that it really is a sky is the limit. As much as you give into mm-hmm. the industry, it can give back. And I think that is the really powerful thing about this particular industry.
Agreed. I only wish I had done it sooner. That's my only regret.
I say the same thing. I'm like, dang it, I wish I would have done it sooner. But you know what? We wouldn't have had the wealth and the breadth and depth of knowledge that we have if we hadn't had those previous careers. So I'm blessed that I had that opportunity.
Very true. I agree. Very true.
So what advice do you have for military spouses looking to get into real estate? I mean, top three tips. Straight from Aaron.
Yeah, so number one of the smartest things I think I did was connect with another military spouse real estate agent. Didn't happen to be in the same area with me. That didn't matter to me. But I was able to kind of connect with that person and have a one-on-one kind of like a mastermind session to get some really good tips and really get, like, let's get into the nitty-gritty of it, right? Like, and let's, you know, be honest with me about what it's going to mean when I get into the industry. Because it's not easy. You know, if it was easy, everybody would do it, right? So I had that great conversation. So that's my first tip. I would say reach out to me, maybe have people reach out to you. You know, find a good real estate agent that's also a military spouse and connect with that person and talk to them about getting into the industry and the right steps you need to make to be successful right off the bat.
Right.
And then I would just say do it. Start building that network now, you know, and make it happen. I think that's true of any industry. Don't wait. Just go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the longer you wait, don't question yourself. Just go get that license. Go study. Get that license and make it happen and take in all the knowledge that you can and set yourself up for success. If you put in, as you said, Lindsay, if you put effort into this, you're going to be wildly successful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that. I mean, there's never a perfect time. There's never a perfect time to start a career. It makes me sad when I hear from military spouses that they're going to opt out until their spouse retires. So I look at them and I pose the question. So you're literally willing to opt out for 15 to 20 years, depending on how long your spouse is serving. And why not opt in now and enjoy retirement with your spouse when that time comes?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Because Lord knows it's not an easy road to hoe when you first get into real estate.
No. And I think that's one of the reasons, like, we're saying how much we love it. And sometimes I think there are days where I think I'm a glutton for punishment, right? But I think that's one of the reasons to have, like, a really great frank conversation. And people do, I get a lot of folks that come to me and ask me, like, hey, I want to get into the real estate industry. And I go, great, let's have a realistic conversation on what that looks like and what you can expect.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give you the good, bad, and the ugly. And if after having that conversation, you're still ready to go and hard charging, I think you're going to do amazing things.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's great. And I have the same thing. People come and they ask and I say, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm going to tell you about how I spent my first year door knocking, cold calling, and beating down doors to build the business that I have today. So nothing comes without a little sweat equity. And in the beginning, it's a lot of sweat equity.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Aaron, if our listeners want to get connected with you to learn more about what you're doing for military spouse, legislation and support, or want to particularly work with you, how can folks get connected with you?
Yeah, so I think the easiest way is to, I mean, I'm happy to give out my phone number. Call, text me, 757-303-2367. And you can also find me on Facebook, Aaron Ward, or on our real estate Facebook page, which is HRVA Homes at Keller Williams Town Center. I'm easy to get in contact with. Reach out to me for anything you may need, even if it's just military spouse related and not real estate related. I'm happy to help.
I love it. I love it. So, Aaron, you and I are going to have to do a live on our Mill Housing Network page about real estate, and we could talk about some of the good, the bad, and the ugly, because I think folks would love hearing from you and your perspective, too. So throwing that invitation out your way.
Love it. I'm happy to do it.
So, Aaron, it's been a pleasure. If you'd like to connect with Aaron, again, you can connect with her directly, or you can go to millhousingnetwork.com, click on podcasts, and look for Aaron's episode. We're going to have all of her contact information as part of our show notes. And while you're on our podcast page, take a moment to browse our past episodes, opt in to work with one of our amazing realtors like Aaron, or fill out the contact form to become a podcast guest on one of our upcoming shows. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our weekly podcast alert and stay in the know for your next PCS. I'm Lindsay Linton. Thank you so much for listening, and join us next time as we continue to dive into some of the issues affecting military families. For more information on upcoming interviews, visit us online at MILHousingNetwork.com. That's all the time we have today. So, Aaron, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Until next time, my MIL Housing Nation listeners, we will see you soon.